The death of a man in Milwaukee who was in police custody has led to calls for a federal investigation, the resignation of the city's police chief, and new training for police officers. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, September 27th. All this reaction is prompted by a videotape that was obtained by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel through an open records request this week. It shows Derek Williams Jr. in the back of a police car. He was gasping for breath and asking police to help him. The police thought he was faking it, but he was not, and he died. We will talk about what should happen in light of this case. And we will welcome your questions and reactions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We will get the latest in this story from our reporter in Milwaukee who is covering it, Chuck Kornbach. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning.
So, Chuck, what's going on? What happened last July?
Well, July 2011, police apprehended Derek Williams and had to chase him. He was a robbery suspect. They had to chase him. The police reports say that they had to put a knee to his back, and they brought him to the squad car, handcuffed him, and he was in the back of the squad car. And what happened after that is on the World Wide Web for people to see, and it's a very disturbing video, as Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett has called it. It shows Williams pleading for help, a police officer in the front seat saying, you know, stop playing games, stop messing around. Mr. Williams slumps over eventually, and the police officer goes back, tries to revive Mr. Williams, eventually performs CPR on him, but Mr. Williams passed away. So that's what happened, and it took a long time for that video to surface.
Yeah, so it was ruled, what, a death due to natural causes, but because the videotape was released this week, that's changed.
Well, there's been a lot of push and shove, I think, and behind the scenes over the last 15 months. There are very experienced attorneys representing members of the Williams family, his mother and the mother of his children. It sounds like they have been pushing for release of this video. The squad cars all have video players in their video cameras in there now. Milwaukee Mayor Barrett reminding the media the other day that he ordered that to happen. So everyone knew that there's video available. It just wasn't made available. A lot of pushing by the defense lawyers, a lot of pushing by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Its reporter Gina Barton and others on their team have been after this video for some time, and the police denied release of it repeatedly, and finally it was made available in the middle of this month.
Mm-hmm. But talk about the change in the cause of death.
Well, right. The medical examiner's office, the pathologist there, not in charge of the office, had reviewed the Williams case and is saying, and the report in this morning's paper is said the examiner relied on the note of a police lieutenant that, you know, the incident, the arrest happened without incident. So it's this apparent pattern of others in charge in the criminal justice system accepting the word of the police officers or the police administration and not seeing this video, not doing more extensive review. There's now a report this morning that the medical examiner's office will require a panel of pathologists in the office to review all deaths in police custody. So there have been some changes. There have been some changes in police training and so on, but there's more to come on this.
Yeah. Well, what has been the response to everything from Milwaukee Police Chief Ed Flynn?
Well, in the news conference the other day, they talked about this changing of the cause of death from a natural causes to a homicide. It was clarified that the homicide doesn't necessarily mean there was criminal negligence or intent to kill, just that another person was involved. This is sort of a forensic definition, but the district attorney's office and others will be doing further reviews of what that means. Chief Flynn at that news conference said that, listen, this is regrettable. The officer apparently missed some signals, but in his defense more broadly of the police department, said a lot of suspects, when they're arrested, get complaining of feeling pain, feeling anguish, and so on, which is very understandable, I guess, if you were ever arrested. But so that's what his explanation was. That is, the often people are faking it. In this case, Mr. Williams was not.
Yeah. So the Milwaukee County District Attorney will get an independent prosecutor to review the circumstances of this death?
Yeah, there's going to be an unnamed special prosecutor from outside the district attorney's office. It might be a retired judge. It might be a retired prosecutor. It might be someone. It's going to be someone from outside the county, according to DA John Chisholm. Yesterday it was announced by the circuit court chief here that Judge Kevin Martins will oversee the public inquest. There's going to be a judge, obviously, overseeing this public inquest or hearing, but the special prosecutor's name has not yet been known. Milwaukee alder persons, four African-American alder persons, met with Chisholm the other day and sort of said, listen, we don't really want any recommendation, person recommended by the state attorney general, Van Hollen. We want someone more independent, middle of the road, as opposed to a Republican attorney general making a suggestion.
Now, is this different than some officials and the family wanting a federal investigation to investigate a possible pattern of civil rights abuses by the Milwaukee Police Department?
Right. There is that hope by a number of public officials, including Mayor Barrett, Congresswoman Moore, Gwen Moore, and others, that want a federal probe of the death. And the U.S. Attorney James Santel has said he is considering that. However, he's been in touch with Chisholm and Shea Flynn and others, and I think for the moment anyway, they're going to let this independent prosecutor go ahead. It is possible the feds could act suddenly and go ahead and order this investigation, but for the moment anyway, it seems that the independent prosecutor is going to be able to go ahead. There's also a call for a federal investigation into a broader pattern of possible civil rights abuses by the Milwaukee Police Department.
Well, there's also a call, at least from a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel columnist James Causey, who we will welcome in just a few minutes. He wrote a column this week that said this is just the latest in a number of controversies involving the Milwaukee Police Department, and he says it's time for Chief Flynn to go, to resign or be fired. Is there any other what's the support or lack thereof for Chief Flynn?
I have not heard other public officials, the mayor or the district attorney or the alderman, calling for Chief Flynn's resignation. Flynn was part of that meeting with Chisholm and the alderman the other day. The aldermen are also going to meet with the medical examiner's office this week. Right now, it has not come from public officials who would presumably have some oversight over Chief Flynn that he resign.
Mm-hmm. So what's next in this story, Chuck?
Well, more details, and tonight there's a community meeting raising about concerns about police community relations. As I say, D.A. Chisholm is expected to announce the identity of this special or independent prosecutor. And then, as I say, sometime soon or sometime after the election, hard to say, the U.S. attorney may announce one way or the other about any sort of federal probe.
Well, I know that you will continue following it for us. Thank you so much, Chuck.
Okay.
Chuck Kornbach, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Milwaukee. In just a moment, we will welcome in James Causey, who is a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel editorial writer and columnist. His column this week said that Chief Flynn has to go. We'll wonder if you agree or not, or what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking our weather forecast for today, sunny and mild with highs in the low to mid-60s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It is 19 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, September 27th. Coming up after 7:30, we will welcome in Republican State Representative from Sister Bay and a former law enforcement officer, Gary Bies, who is going to reintroduce a bill calling for more training, new training and education standards for police officers. This in light of this story in Milwaukee this week involving an African-American man who was in police custody a year ago, who died in police custody and has resulted in an outcry from the community and elsewhere. We'll talk with Gary Bies after 7:30 about his bill. We did invite, by the way, Milwaukee Police Chief Ed Flynn to join us during this hour, but he declined. We are joined now by James Causey, who is editorial writer and columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And this week he had a column headlined, "I've Had Enough of Ed Flynn." Good morning.
Good morning.
So, James, why do you say that Chief Flynn has to go?
Well, after looking at the videotape, it became clear that this was like the straw that broke the camel's back. I mean, if you look at Chief Flynn's stint with the as head of the Milwaukee Police Department, he's had a number of missteps, not only him, but his officers. And I basically say if leadership starts at the top, it's unclear that what his message is trickling down to his officers, because it seems like after a number of investigations by the newspaper, there's just a lot of problems with the Milwaukee Police Department. And it just seems like there's always something popping up. And I'm tired of the excuses of, okay, maybe we need more training. Maybe we need to do this differently. And it seems as though every time the department is caught doing something wrong, that, you know, they say that, you know, it's not a big deal, but then they clear it up behind the scenes, and then they say, okay, it's nothing to see here.
Yeah.
Well, it's just too much for me. And don't get me wrong, I've been a longtime supporter of Flynn. I was happy when he was selected, and I've been a strong supporter for him. So this was a hard column for me to write.
Yeah. Chief Flynn did say that maybe his officers that were involved in this case missed some cues, but that it is quite common for a suspect once arrested or even arrested after some sort of tussle with police to claim that there is some sort of medical issue or that they're hurting in some way. So, and many times he says the suspect is making it up. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I would encourage everyone to look at the video for themselves and make up their own mind. I mean, the video speaks for itself. And without this video, I think I could buy what he's saying as being true. But once you look at this video and you hear this guy begging for help for nearly 8 minutes, and he's pretty much saying, you know, something's wrong, I can't breathe, and he repeats this over and over again. Then he slumps over in the backseat of the squad, and then there's a time before any CPR or first aid is rendered to this young man. That's bad. I mean, I would encourage everyone to look at the videotape and make up their own mind.
Yeah. You say, too, that this is sort of a last straw. What are some of the other cases or issues facing the Milwaukee Police Department under Chief Flynn's leadership that you think mean he should go?
Well, actually, there were too many for me to even list in my column that ran in Wednesday's paper. But, you know, Chief Flynn is a numbers guy. He's based his when he came in, he basically said that, you know, I will get crime down. And he seemed like he was all about his numbers. But in May, after we did an investigation, we discovered that his numbers are not accurate. You know, there were 500 incidents that were labeled as simple assaults to the FBI that should have been classified as aggravated assaults, and it was over 500 incidents of that. And his response was that, you know, first he went after the reporter who discovered this, Ben Poston, and then he later acknowledged that, yeah, there were thousands of errors. Okay, so, he labeled that on, you know, maybe how the data was input or, you know, more training needed for that. But then you go back to October, And then we discovered in another investigation that 93 officers were disciplined for committing crimes but remained on a job. And a number of these, over a dozen or so, were under Flynn's watch. And then we discovered that six were arrested for drunken driving. Then we also have this case that's pending right now, where seven officers and a supervisor had been stripped of their powers for illegal strip searches on the streets of Milwaukee. And most of these victims or people that they had in custody were African-American men. Black men in the area are seven times more likely than whites to be stopped by police. And when their cars are searched, and their cars are searched at twice the rate, but police don't find any more weapons or stolen property or drugs than they do any other race. Then was the case that really kind of was swept up under the rug was the case of Darius Simmons, the 13-year-old boy who was shot by his 75-year-old neighbor. This case resonated for me because of how the victim's mother was treated. She was placed in the back of a squad car and not allowed to spend her last moments with her child, who was dying in the hospital. And basically, Flynn defended his officers by saying a detective's top priority is to gather facts and compassion is secondary. But this was a young man who died, and she didn't get a chance to spend her last minutes with her son. And this really created a division in the black community that I don't think Flynn is truly aware of. I mean, you could try to sweep that under the rug, but it's a lot of people still upset over that. And then, you know, there's a case that I couldn't even get in. It was the Cates case, where an officer raped a woman while on duty. And he was eventually sentenced for that. I mean, but it's just constant things coming up. And it's just like, well, you know, you could say he can't be in charge of all of his officers, and maybe there's more training needed. But if the leadership starts at the top, when do you start holding that person responsible?
We are talking with James Causey, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel editorial writer and columnist, who in his column this week, this Wednesday, is calling on Milwaukee Police Chief Ed Flynn to step down. Take a call or two for James Causey before news. Jim in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Jim.
Oh, good morning. I've been a lifelong resident of the Milwaukee area, and what I'm going to say has got nothing to do with Chief Flynn at all. It's just the individual officers here. I read this story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and I can put two and two together. What we have here is a young man who is what I call an urban predator. We have a large number of these young people in the city of Milwaukee that prey on anybody that tries to walk down a public sidewalk in a peaceable manner. This young man had an arrest record as long as both of your arms. He had just been released from jail on the day of the incident for some crime he had already committed in the past. And on the very day he's released from custody, he tried to rob a couple over by St. Mary's Hospital on the east side of Milwaukee. The officers try to arrest him, and he runs. And so they're chasing, pursuing a person who's trying to elude the officers.
I understand you're trying to give a lot of background here. What's your main point, Jim, that the police did nothing wrong?
No, I don't think they did. And, you know, my solution to this problem is to have a combined position of police officer, medical doctor, and constitutional lawyer. We'd have about 12 or 13 years of training for this job with a starting salary of $400,000 a year. And after 15 years, they get like $850,000 a year.
Well, you're being facetious, we understand. But what about James Causey, Jim's point that the police were dealing with a criminal, and he doesn't think they did anything wrong?
Well, police deal with criminals most of the time. Most of the people that they have in the back of their squad cars are accused of something, but that doesn't mean that they deserve to die. I mean, police have a right to protect the person that they have in custody. I mean, if we were to say, well, you know, he was a criminal, so, well, that's that's what happens. I mean, do we really think that? I mean, I don't understand that.
Let's take one more call from Rick in Milwaukee. Hello, Rick.
Yes, two brief questions. Number one, how does someone listening to this program actually see the video? What's the address on the Internet?
Oh, cool. Yeah, you could go to jsonline.com. And we have the video posted there. One thing about the video, though, you have to click on a little box to indicate that you're over 18 years old, and it will come up. You could either just go in the search engine and type in Derek Williams video on our jsonline.com site, and it will come up for you.
Yeah, and Rick, very briefly, we have less than a minute.
Briefly, how has Chief Flynn gotten away with blocking the state open records law for the last 14 months on the release of that video?
Yeah, very briefly.
Well, that's you know, he's used a number of reasons, and you know, it's really too complicated to get into. But he basically said he hasn't been blocking it. We say that he has.
Yeah. Well, what? I guess James Causey, we should leave it there since we don't really have enough time for another question and answer. Thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, thank you.
James Causey, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel editorial writer and columnist. You can see his column on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And perhaps we will also put the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel website of that video there as well. We'll check news, and then we will welcome in a state lawmaker, a former law enforcement officer who is planning on reintroducing a bill calling for new training and education standards for police officers. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 7:36, on this Thursday, September 27th. Some people in Milwaukee are asking about a possible pattern of civil rights abuses by the city's police, and they have requested a U.S. Justice Department investigation. Their request comes after a video that was obtained by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel was posted online this week, showing an African-American man, a robbery suspect, dying while in police custody. For several minutes, the officers doubted the man's cries for help. The man later died. Here's Wisconsin Public Radio's Chuck Quirnbach.
On July 6th of last year, Milwaukee patrol officers arrested robbery suspect Derek Williams Jr. after chasing him and pressing a knee across his back. The officers handcuffed Williams and put him in the rear seat of a police car, while an officer sat in the front seat working on a report of the incident. A video recording from a camera installed in the police vehicle shows Williams gasping for breath and asking for help.
I can't breathe, sir.
You're talking to You're just playing games.
A few minutes after Williams was told he was just playing games, he slumped down on the back seat and appeared to lose consciousness. A few minutes after that, one of the officers sensed that Williams was not faking physical distress and tried to revive Williams, calling him sir.
Sir! Hey!
Eventually, police performed CPR on Williams, but he died. The Milwaukee County Medical Examiner's Office has now looked at the video and recently changed Derek Williams' cause of death. It was natural causes related to sickle cell crisis. Now it's a homicide. Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm says that doesn't necessarily mean the patrol officers engaged in criminal misconduct, just that another person took part. Still, Chisholm is asking an outside prosecutor to conduct a public inquest.
Anytime new information or a new conclusion is reached, we have an obligation to revisit all of the information.
Milwaukee Police Chief Edward Flynn says he endorses the outside review. He says the patrol officers may have missed some signals about Williams's health in the squad car. But Flynn says officers often hear that the people they arrest aren't feeling well.
I think it's important to recognize a reality of the work of our police officers. When they have recently been pursuing a robbery suspect and have arrested that individual after a brief struggle, it is not unusual for those suspects to complain of shortness of breath or to complain about how they feel.
Flynn says Milwaukee police have already changed some training procedures and will be quicker to call for medical help if someone in custody reports feeling ill. The U.S. attorney in Milwaukee says he's considering asking the FBI to probe the case
And James Santel says he's also mulling a wider look at a possible pattern of police abusing Milwaukee citizens over the years. Milwaukee Democratic Congresswoman Gwen Moore says she'd support the broader civil rights investigation.
I do think that the city has seen some very unfortunate patterns, and not just the city, the nation. And it's a very unfortunate, almost indelible blemish on our community. And if, in fact, this is part of some sort of pattern, I think that it ought to be investigated as such.
Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett, whose community could be further rocked by a federal probe of the police department, says he's told the U.S. attorney to do what he thinks is right.
That's Wisconsin Public Radio's Chuck Kornbach reporting for National Public Radio on this story, which is obviously getting national attention. We heard in our last half hour from James Causey, who is Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's editorial writer and columnist, who is calling for the resignation of the Milwaukee Police Chief, Ed Flynn. And we welcome your thoughts and questions about this case, your reactions to this case at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We did invite Milwaukee Police Chief Flynn to join us during this hour, but we were told he is not able to do it. We do welcome in now a former member of the Door County Sheriff's Department, a former law enforcement officer who is currently a Republican state representative from Sister Bay, Gary Bies, who is planning on reintroducing a bill calling for new training and education standards for police officers. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
So first off, Representative Bies, What is your reaction to the case of this this man, Derek Williams, who died in police custody a year ago?
Well, it's a feeling of sadness, I guess, that somebody died for a situation that should not could have been prevented. One of the things I learned early on in my training and back in the early 70s is that once you take a person into custody, you become responsible for their safety and their welfare, and it's up to who's ever in charge of the custody of that individual as it goes through the process has that same responsibility. So you have to be very aware of what's going on and make sure that you do whatever you can to, that person is safe until he's released again.
We heard in Chuck's story that the Chief Flynn endorsed an investigation into this, thinking that perhaps his police officers missed some cues. But we also heard Chief Flynn say it's not uncommon for a suspect who's been arrested to complain about some sort of health issue. What's your response to that?
Been down that road many times. When you get somebody in custody, they have all sorts of complaints about all going through all the process that they, especially somebody that's been in the been through this before. They sort of know the routine and they try to push all the buttons that are possible.
But again, I guess this videotape shows at least 15 minutes of the suspect, Derek Williams, repeatedly telling officers that he couldn't breathe and apparently the officers not believing him until he lost consciousness. That could have been that perhaps was too long for the officers to just allow him to gasp for breath and call for help.
Well, I didn't have the privilege of seeing the tape, but even though they make a complaint, I think you still have the responsibility of making sure everything is okay. They may be misrepresenting what's going on, but you still have to check it out. And if you said going on for that long a time, it's hard to hard to second guess what went on. I wasn't there at the time. they worked in Milwaukee, they have a much different situation than the people working law enforcement in the rural areas. The amount of incidents that you run into of that type are a lot less. So, it's easy to play Monday morning quarterback, but when you're there at the time and what's going on, it's a whole different thing.
Well, you plan to reintroduce, say, a bill calling for new training and education standards for police officers. What would this change?
It's something the Law Enforcement Standards Board was looking for back in 2009. Representative Raychuk, who was a former sheriff, introduced it, and at that time they were her party was in the majority, and she came to me knowing that I had a law enforcement background, also looking for bipartisan support, and I, reviewing the bill, I thought it was a good piece of legislation to give the training board and standards a little more latitude in how they set criteria and curriculum and everything that goes along with that. So I was happy to support it, and with this situation coming up now and taking a look at the some requests that we've had, I intend to bring that back in January and run it through again and see if we can just make the ability of law enforcement to have a little more information so they can do their job a little bit better.
We were talking with Gary Bies, a Republican state representative from Sister Bay, a former member of the Door County Sheriff's Department. He's planning on reintroducing a bill calling for new training and education standards for police officers. This is in part in reaction to the death of an African-American man in Milwaukee who was in police custody last year. This case has led to calls for a federal investigation, for the resignation of the city's police chief, and new training for police officers. And we welcome your questions for Representative Bies at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking our weather forecast for today, sunny and mild with highs today in the low to mid-60s. Clear and cold with patchy frost tonight, lows in the 30s and 40s. Sunny and a little warmer tomorrow with a high temperature around 70. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Thursday, September 27th, coming up after 8. We will talk about resiliency. We'll talk with the co-author of Resilience, The Science of Mastering Life's Greatest Challenges, who says that we can learn how to increase our resilience. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. Now we are talking with State Representative Gary Bies, who is planning on reintroducing a bill calling for new training and education standards for police officers. And we are welcoming your questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This legislation would require officers to be trained in cultural differences, mental health, and physical health conditions that can affect behavior and arrest and pursuit procedures. Our first caller for Representative Bies is Sheree in Waupun. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I certainly wouldn't want to be a police officer. Their job is very difficult, and the day-to-day stress that they go through is a very hard thing to go through, and I understand that. But there is a huge difference when you are stopped by a police officer when you're black versus when you're white. And that's the reason for the mistrust that black people tend to have with police officers. You know, one thing where someone may get stopped for something that seems simple, usually it turns into a much bigger thing where I may be ticketed, but somebody of a different color may just get a warning. You know, and unfortunately, it's taken many years to cultivate that type of distrust, and it's going to take twice as many years that level of distrust to go away. And I feel bad about that. I wish that wasn't the case. But the black experience you know, having a police officer stop you is totally different than when you are of a different race.
Yeah. Do you think that this legislation to increase the training along these lines might help, Sheree?
Absolutely. I think any training, any education, you know, for anybody is a good thing. Ignorance is never a good thing. So I appreciate Representative Bai, you know, putting forth this effort. And I hope that it's welcomed, and I hope that it's taken seriously. It's a shame that it takes a death or many deaths for this to happen. But, you know, we live and we learn. And hopefully, you know, Chief Flynn will take this opportunity to really discuss with his officers, why is it different? What pre-derelictions do you have when you stop someone of a different color? When you're walking down the street and you're black and you get stopped, that's kind of why black men tend to run, because there's a certain level of expectation of unfairness that they expect.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Sheree, for your perspective on this and a reaction, Representative Bies.
Well, I think there's a lot of things that have happened in the past that continues the feeling of people of different culture and different race, and it's going to take a long time to overcome that. From what I've seen, the newer and younger officers, I think, have a better attitude towards this and consciously try to do a better job all the time, but they're still trying to overcome a lot of the things that have happened in the past, and that just may take a generation or so to get over that, those feelings, and it's going to take good police work in the future to overcome that also.
Thanks again, Sheree. Jim in Cape Run, Illinois, is with us. Good morning.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What would you like to add?
I'm just, first of all, very sorry that anyone has to die like that. It's absolutely horrible, and I'm very sorry. I just want to bring up one issue of resources and understanding of not necessarily the human element of these police officers. I work in EMS. I'm 43. I've been doing it since I was young. And
I'm sorry, you said you're an EMS worker? Is that what you said?
That's correct.
Okay.
We get complaints all the time. The police do call us. They try their best, and they call us very often. If someone complains, they have to go to the hospital. No matter what they complain of, they can say they have a complaint. Now, one of the issues beyond training of officers is addressing how we fortify our hospitals. Because what happens is you have all these different areas. So what happens is you bring anyone into the hospital, and we do. Drunk people, all kinds of issues. I've got this.
Right, and I'm sorry. I'm just going to ask you to kind of get to your point, Jim. I'm sorry. We're almost at it.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. One officer has to follow that person in and stay at the hospital at that particular room. No matter what room they go, you have to have an officer in that area. At least that's our protocol. So now you're losing officers. Now they're more busy on nights when things get crazy, and there's more of them at the hospital. So it's also a resource problem. So you hire more officers. Maybe you need more officers. Maybe you need to look at where we bring prisoners for medical treatment.
All right, so I guess Jim is saying that various criminal or health issues involved in law enforcement might mean more police officers need to be hired because of the being overwhelmed by this, Representative Bies?
Well, you definitely tie up resources when you have a person that's in custody that needs medical attention. Yes, an officer or two, depending on the and the compliance with that person needs to go along, and then, that cuts back on resources, especially if things are busy and other calls don't get taken care of. So it is a resource issue when you come to those type of situations.
Thank you very much, Jim. We appreciate the call and the perspective. Lisa in Superior is with us now. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Representative Bies. I just wanted to ask if you could clarify something you said earlier about previous legislation that was introduced but was not actually enacted. And as I understood your comments, it sounded like you were saying that the objective was to give more latitude to law enforcement, a little more discretion. And if that, if I understood you correctly, how would that prevent death? How would that prevent injury?
No, what I said, to give the training and standard board a little more latitude on setting up training programs. The bill was had a public hearing, but it was a Senate bill and was never brought to the floor for passage, and that's why it never made it through. But the latitude wasn't to law enforcement, but to the training and standards board, who sets up the criteria and curriculum for training.
And again, this would be training in cultural issues, cultural differences, mental health, and physical health conditions.
That was all part of the bill specifying those areas specifically.
Yeah, and you are. It looks like there is you have support on this. I'm not sure if it's an identical bill, but State Representative Dean Crawford is talking in support of this, and also State Senator Lena Taylor, a Democrat from Milwaukee, is behind this. So you're all co-sponsoring the same legislation.
Yeah, the Senate bill was originally put forward by Senator Taylor. And Dean Crawford and I were both on the bill as co-sponsors when it came out.
Mm-hmm. So, how optimistic are you that that this will pass this time?
I'm always optimistic and put a good effort to bring it forward. Some of the people that probably helped not make it. Through the legislature are no longer there, so I think we'll have a good chance.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us. Gary Bies, Republican State Representative from Sister Bay, former member of the Door County Sheriff's Department. He is planning on reintroducing a bill along with Democratic State Senator Lena Taylor of Milwaukee, a bill that would call for new training and education standards for police officers. Our thanks as well to James Causey, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel editorial writer and columnist who joined us in our last half hour, and Chuck Wormbach, Wisconsin Public Radio's Milwaukee-based reporter. And thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. And I hope that you will stay tuned when we talk about resilience in our next hour. When we face difficulties in life, what makes one person able to bounce back and another person have a harder time? We will talk with the author of Resilience, who says we can prepare ourselves in a lot of different ways, and we can strengthen our resilience. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. Also, coming up tomorrow at this time, we're going to talk about reptiles and amphibians. It'll be fun. I think I'm going to have some frogs come into the studio tomorrow. This is in conjunction with the Wisconsin Science Festival, which is going on the UW-Madison campus this weekend. So we'll talk about frogs and other reptiles and amphibians coming up tomorrow between 7 and 8. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.